ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prince Kahoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gopakavinda ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shamakund Radhakund Giri Govardhan ki jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Shri Mayapurnam Deep Dham ki jai. Shri Jagannath Puri Dham ki jai. Tulsi Devi Bhakti Devi ki jai, Jamuna Devi Ganga Devi ki jai, Samveda Bhakti Vrinda ki jai, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees. Gaur Premanande Hari Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Narayanam Namaskritya.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Naram Chaiva Narottamam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam.
Tato Jaya Udiraye.
Tato Jaya Udiraye.
Corbin, can I have the first canto, please? Sorry, Janaki. You can come to Srimad Bhagavatam. First canto. Second chapter. Verse number 2. Sutuvacha.
Sutuvacha.
Yam pravajantam unupetam vapeta krityam.
Yam.
Vaipayano viraha kartada ajuhava.
Vaipayano viraha kartada ajuhava.
Putreti tanmat. Mayatayatara vodinetus.
Treti tammaya tarva vimedu
Tam sarva bhuta hridayam munim anatosmi
Tam sarva bhuta hridayam munim anatosmi
Sutaha
Sutaha
Sutu Goswami
Sutu Goswami
Uvacha
Uvacha
Se
Se
Yam
Yam
Hu
Hu
Pravajantam
Pravajantam
While going away for the renounced order of life.
Anupetam.
Without being reformed by the sacred thread.
Apeta.
Not undergoing ceremonies.
Krityam.
Prescribed duties.
Vaipayanaha.
Vyasadev.
Viraha.
Separation.
Kartaraha.
Being afraid of.
Ajuhava.
Exclaimed. Putra iti.
Oh my
Lord.
Oh
my son.
Oh my son.
Tanmay. Mayataya. Being absorbed in that way. Karavaha.
All the trees.
Abhineduhu.
Responded.
Tam unto him. Sarva,
sarva,
all.
Bhuta,
living entities.
Hridayam,
heart. Munim,
sage.
Anatah
asmi.
Offer obeisances.
Srila
Suta Goswami said, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto that great sage, Shukadeva Goswami, who can enter the hearts of all." When he went away to take up the renounced order of life, sannyas, leaving home without undergoing reformation by the sacred thread or the ceremonies observed by the higher castes, his father Vyasadeva, fearing separation from him, cried out, "O my son, indeed only the trees which were absorbed in the same feelings of separation echoed in response to the bereaved father." This is a little over the peak. It's got a little ring on the top of it, so maybe the gain has to come down just a tad. Purport by His Divine Grace, Desi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. That's better. Hare Krishna. The institution of Varna and Ashram prescribes many regulative duties to be observed by its followers. What does it do? Okay. Such duties enjoin that a candidate willing to study the Vedas must approach a bona fide spiritual master and request acceptance as his disciple. The sacred thread is the sign of those who are competent to study the Vedas from the Acharya, or the bona fide spiritual master. Sri Shukadeva Goswami did not undergo such purificatory ceremonies because he was a liberated soul from his very birth. Generally, a man is born as an ordinary being, and by the purificatory processes, he is born for the second time. When he sees a new light and seeks direction for spiritual progress, he approaches a spiritual master for instruction in the Vedas. The spiritual master accepts only the sincere inquirer as his disciple and gives him the sacred thread. In this way, a man becomes twice born, or dvija. After qualifying as a dvija, one may study the Vedas. And after becoming well-versed in the Vedas, one becomes a vipra. A vipra, or qualified brahmana, thus realizes the absolute and makes further progress in spiritual life until he reaches the Vaishnava stage. The Vaishnava stage is the postgraduate status of a Brahmana. A progressive Brahmana must necessarily become a Vaishnava, for a Vaishnava is a self-realized learned Brahmana. Srila Shrivadeva Goswami was a Vaishnava from the beginning. Therefore, there was no need for him to undergo all the processes of the Varnashram institution. Ultimately, the aim of the Varnashram Dharma is to turn a crude man into a pure devotee of the Lord, or a Vaishnava. Anyone, therefore, who becomes a Vaishnava, accepted by the first-class Vaishnava, or Uttama Adhikari Vaishnava, is already considered a Brahmana, regardless of his birth or past deeds. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted this principle and recognized Srila Haridas Thakur as the Acharya of the holy name, although Thakur Haridas appeared in a Mohammedan family. In conclusion, Srila Shukadeva Goswami was born a Vaishnava, and therefore Brahmanism was included in him. He did not have to undergo any ceremonies. Is there...
It's very interesting.
No, I'm just... I hear Jaya Radha Madhava going somewhere.
We have a tape
on
one. It's a 24-hour
tape. This house is booby trapped.
So
you can't become un-Krishna conscious at any time.
Yeah, it's a 24-hour. You just
have to...
No, it won't work. It just goes on. I mean, I'll turn it on. Sorry.
No, it's nice. I just didn't want to talk over it. I wanted to also just confer. I thought maybe I had reached some higher stage. Any low-born person, be he a Kirata, Huna, Andhra, Pulinda, Pulkasha, Abhira, Shumba, Yavana, Kasa, or even lower, can be delivered to the highest transcendental position by the mercy of Vaishnavas. Srila Shukadeva Goswami was the spiritual master of Sri Suta Goswami, who therefore offers his respectful obeisances unto Srila Shukadeva Goswami after he begins his answers to the questions of the sages of Naima Sharanya. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Viditam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Tathapitam Yena Bhutale Tathayam Rupa Hridamaya Tathapi Svamadam Jinam Vande Shri Guru, Shri Yudha Bhagavan, Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa, Shri Rupam, Sakrajatam, Sahagnaragnatam, Tamsa Jivam, Sadvetam, Sadvajutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Shri Radha Krishna Madha Sahagna Lalita Shri Shahamamsa Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanande Namaste Saraswati Deve Gaurani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschate Shatarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Shri Vaishnavada Devi Daitaya Kribhataye Krishna Sambandha Vikyana Dhane Prabhade Namaha Madhu Yoshvala Premadya Shri Rupa Nuga Bhakti Da Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Vinatarine Rupa Nuga Virbhata Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gaurakishoraya Sachadhaya Murtaye Vibrahamba Samroye Padam Bhujaya Te Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sachidananda Dhamine Gaura Shakti Sarupaya Rupa Nuga Dharayate Gaura virbhava bhomestam nirdesa sarjana priya Vaishnava sarva bhomashri Jagannathaya te namaha Vancha kalpa guru jascha Kripa sindhu jayucha Patitanam bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Namo mahavadanyaya Krishna prema pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurav Vishe Namaha Pancha Tattvatam Krishna Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Vataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopi Vartanta Radhananta Namostute Jayatam Suratavamangor Mamanda Vriyakati Masarvasra Padam Bhoja Radha Madana Mohana Divya Vrindaranya Kopa Dharmata Srimad Ratnagara Singha Sanastav Srimad Radha Shila Govinda Deva Vrishtamidhi Sevya Manosmanami Srimad Rasara Sanami Vamshi Vatata Tastita Karshan Venu Svanir Gopi Gopinata Shri Estima Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindavan Tulsi Vekari Vidayai Keshavasnicha Vishnu Bhakti Pradhi Devi Satyavatai Namo Namaha Shri Nishinga Jai Nishinga Jai Jai Nishinga Pranadisha Jaya Padma Buddha Padma Vrinda Yada Yada Hidharmasya Gladiya Bhavati Bharata Abhyutana Madharmasya Tadatmanam Srijamyaham Praitranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chaturskritam Dharma Samstapanartaya Sambhavani Yuge Yuge Madhmanabhava Madhvakto Madhyajimahasturu Mami Vaishyasi Uparvam Atmanamatvarayanaha Sarvadharman Parityaja Manekam Sharanam Raja Ahankam Sarvapapevyo Mokshayishami Masuja Shushushu Sharadhanasya Vasudeva Katharuchi Sian Mahatsevayadikra Punyatirta Nishevana Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Rityatakasto Kipadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam Nashta Praishu Padreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavad-yutama-shloke Bhaktir-bhavati-nai-shriki Chakara-jastamo-bhava-kala-lopa-hayashti Chetai-kirtan-abhidam Sitam-sakve-vasivati Evam-prasana-manasto Bhagavad-bhakti-yogataha Bhagavad-tattva-vijnanam Mukta-sangasya-jayate Vidyate-rani-rekantish Shijante sarva samshaya Shriyane chashya karmani Vrishwai vatmanishware Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shri Mahasarvi Gaura Bhaktavirna Malihai Kareche Vijaruvan Shavana Kirtana Chale Kareche Chala Tavistarita hare pale prema pala Ihamali se chimida shravana ijal Vairagya vijaya ija bhakti yoga Kshikshakameka purusha purana Shri Krishna chetanya shariya hari Kripamu nirvyasta maha prabhadye Kala nashtam bhakti yoga nijanya Tadushkatam shikrishna chetanya nabla Agrudasasya Prabhara Vinde Gadam Gadam Yatam Shichabringa
Jai Shri Krishna
Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Gopri Manande Hare Hare So this very dramatic opening to the Srimad Bhagavatam. We have a story that captures the mind, and that is Shukadeva Goswami is leaving home. How and when is he leaving home? On his own volition. Most children, when they're born, can't go anywhere. They're helpless. But he was older, a little older, almost. He was in his teens when he came out of the womb. As of his disposition, he was already liberated within the womb and wanted to stay unentangled and therefore refused to come out. And despite the requests of his father and mother, he wouldn't come out. Krishna had to personally come and tell him that you won't become entangled, you can come out. But when he did, he left home. Keep in mind that his father is Srila Vyasadeva. And Srila Vyasadeva wanted to at least give him the sacred thread, which is given to young boys in Vedic culture when they reach a certain age. And he renounced that which is normally renounced. He renounced it before it could be taken up and then renounced. And naked, he went straight to the forest. This is the beginning of the Bhagavatam telling the qualification of a person who will be interested in the Bhagavatam. Later in the 10th canto we hear that those who have no more taste for material life, they're not interested anymore in pursuing the senses, will be interested in hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. As a question comes up, Koha Bhagavatastasya, in the first chapter of the Bhagavatam, there's a question by the sages at Nainasarnya. It says, who won't be interested in this? Mm-hmm. And later it comes, those who are killing animals, or those who have a strong thirst for enjoying the material world. So Shukadeva Goswami had no interest at all. In fact, he wasn't even interested in putting on clothes. He went straight to the forest. What was he interested in? That is revealed when, as explained, as we know, he came back to speak the Bhagavatam after he left. So how did that happen? The other Puranas give some history that his father, Vyasadeva, sent out representatives to the forest where Shukadeva was staying, absorbed in samadhi. And they began to recite verses from the Bhagavatam. Aho vakiyam stanakalu bhutam is one of them. This verse, which was spoken by Sri Uddhava, says, oh, who could take shelter of anyone else except for Krishna? Because Krishna killed Putana, who came to kill him, and he didn't consider that she had come to kill him. She only considered that she disguised herself as his mother, and therefore he gave her the highest kind of liberation, that is an eternal relationship with him as a mother in the spiritual world. So Uddhava is crying out this verse and saying, who would take shelter of anybody else? And this is borne out for those of you who have studied the Laghu Bhagavatamrita, which recently came out, a very important literature by Rupa Goswami, which was recently posthumously published after Gopi Pranadanapuru, that great soul, had translated that book. And there, explained very carefully very meticulously by Rupa Goswami, about how Krishna particularly liberates everyone he comes in contact with. Not all the avatars liberate when one comes in contact with them, but anyone who comes in contact with Krishna becomes liberated, because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As a side note, he mentions also that's why Bhagavad Gita is so potent, because it was directly spoken by Krishna himself. That's why there's so much benefit to be had by those who read the Bhagavad Gita every day, at least chant one chapter. And in the forest, Shukadeva Goswami heard these verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Some say it was the disciples of Vyasadeva. Other places I've read that it was the woodcutter going into the forest. Maybe it was both. But in any case, this was his strategy to bring his son back. There was no other way to bring him back anywhere, because he had no interest at all. And then he came back to study the Bhagavatam from his father, Srila Vyasadeva. And here it's mentioned that the Shukadeva Goswami was dear to everyone. In fact, very poetically and beautifully, and we hear that the Taravo Pinedus, the trees, Taravo, Putreti Tanmate Mayataya Taravo Pinedus, the trees were also absorbed in Viraha, means separation. So Vyasadeva was in separation. Obviously his mother was. Son was just born and he ran away from home. But then he called after him. Not as an attached father, but because this is, everyone becomes attached to someone who develops these qualities. And says here, even the trees. Some say it was an echo. It wasn't an echo. This is not saying that. It's saying that the trees are also calling out to Shukadeva in separation from him. And so in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami tells about how when one surrenders to Krishna, one takes up the process of pure devotional service, well, immediately one develops a certain qualities. It's the one becomes free from all distress. Because everyone in this world is troubled. Actually, there's one source of misery. This is good to know. It's one source of misery. It seems to be coming from different places and from different angles. But actually, there's one reason that I suffer in this world, and it's because of my previous sinful reactions. And therefore, when one takes the devotional service and surrenders to Krishna, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, sarva-dharman parityaja, mam ekam sharanam braja, aham tvam sarva-papekyo, moksha-ishami masuchaha, I deliver you from all sinful reaction. You just surrender to me. And as explained by Rupa Goswami and the acharyas who comment on this section of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there's a chain of various sinful reactions that I accumulate over lifetimes that I've had since a time immemorial. And therefore, he quotes a verse from the Padma Purana, aprarabdha palam bhavam kutam bijam palon mukham kramanaiva praliyante Vishnupakti Ratatmanam. And that is that there's various kinds of reactions, stages of reactions to my sinful to my sinful life. So one of them is called aprarabdha. Aprarabdha means it's not manifest yet. It's still waiting to come. So nowadays people have so much stuff that they have to get an extra storage locker. This is one of the growth industries in the West. Maybe also in India, I don't know. But the similar way, as a living entity, trying to engage with the material energy, I create so much sinful reaction due to my mentality to exploit the material nature that I develop a storehouse of sinful reactions, and I can't experience them all in one lifetime, not even in many lifetimes. They're waiting for me. aprarabdha, they haven't even manifested yet. So I may finish up all the ones I'm doing now, but then there's, there's many more waiting. Aprarabdha palam papam, kutam bijam palom mukam, and then kutam bijam are other stages. When it starts to manifest, it's coming from a seed, it's also sprouting. And then he says, at the last part of the verse, Vishnu Bhakti Ratatmanam, and that is that all of these kinds of sinful reactions are destroyed by worshipping Lord Krishna or Vishnu. And how are they destroyed? Kramanaiva. He says step by step. So there's some discussion about whether they're destroyed from the oldest ones and then come up to the new ones. The chronology is disputed a little bit. But whether the latest ones, the prarabdha, which means that which is directly manifested now in the form of this material body, which is already set up. You come into the world with a certain set of senses and a certain balance sheet or a ledger that's going to allot you a certain amount of happiness and distress. And there's no wiggle room. It's not that you can avoid that. It's already manifested. That's your prarabdha. Kramanaiva priliyante, but then it's destroyed step by step. So from the oldest to the newest, to the newest to the oldest. So the acharyas then say, it doesn't matter. Because it happens so fast when you engage in Krishna bhakti. And then they give the example of someone making a garland from lotus petals. If you get a whole bunch of lotus petals, and then you take a long needle, and you push the needle through the stack of lotus petals, you may say it started on this end and it ended on this end. But actually it happens so fast, it's simultaneous. So similar way, when one takes to the worship of Krishna, wholeheartedly surrenders to Krishna, then all of one's karma, past and present, is destroyed. And this is confirmed in the Shastra. For instance, Devahuti, when speaking to Abhiladev, says, Ahobhatashwa pachato garyanya jivagre vartate namatubhyam te pustapaste juhuvu sasna arya brahmanatra namagrananti ete. And that is how wonderful it is. This is another one of those aho verses. They begin off with it's a kind of an ecstasy, saying, oh, this is so wonderful. I quoted also, aho bhakiyam sthanakala kutam. So this aho.
Aho.
This is amazing. Aho. Aho. Bhattashwa pachato gariyam. So she's saying how wonderful it is that if anyone, even if it's a shwapacha, so this means, shwa means a dog. And pacha means to cook. So it means a dog cooker. It doesn't even mean necessarily a dog eater, although that's implied. But it means somebody who's in the present tense cooking dogs. It means if you get invited to their house for Thanksgiving, they're going to have a dog on the table. Sorry. But it's the meaning of the verse. And it said, even a person from such a culture, when coming to the point of chanting the holy name, and how much? Even just a little bit. With the tip of one's tongue, it says, even if it's just one time, and even just a little bit on the tip of the tongue, it says, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
And that person is considered to have performed the Vedic rituals previously, have been to all the holy places, and is considered, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said in his own way, if I hear one time from the mouth of a person Hare Krishna, I consider them amongst all the people of the world, this is the best person. And also we know from Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Instruction, he says Krishneti yasya giritam manasadriyeta. And that is that if one time you hear from the mouth of someone Hare Krishna, then in your mind you should offer them respects. You should give your pranams to them in your mind. So why? Because those who are knowledgeable in the Shastra and know the science understand that if someone's chanting Hare Krishna, someone comes in contact with Krishna, then their sinful reactions will be destroyed. And that's why Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that a devotional service frees one from all material distress. And then he says it bestows auspiciousness. And there are several symptoms of auspiciousness that he gives. One of them is that such a person becomes dear to other living entities, to all living entities. And this is why Shukadeva Goswami is being described here as even the trees were attached to him when he's going away. There's a natural way in which someone who gives up his or her vested interest in the material world, say, I don't want to be the controller, I want to be the servant now, then becomes dear to others. First of all, it's a big relief to not have to be the controller. It's a real pain to be the controller. However, if one develops a service attitude, and I'm just serving Krishna, and I'll find the authorized way to serve Krishna, and then I'll pursue that, that person becomes dear to everyone. And not only that, as mentioned in the Shastra, yasyasi bhaktir bhagavatiya kinchana sarvar gunastatra samasate sura paravabhaktasya kuto mahatguna manoratena siddhitavato bihi. From Bhagavatam 5.18.12. One who takes to Krishna consciousness sincerely naturally develops all the good qualities of the demigods. Or, it also means that such a person develops such good qualities that demigods want to live with him. They want to come and stay in his house. And so, auspiciousness means that one becomes purified by this surrender to Krishna and chanting Hare Krishna, and then becomes dear to others, and is able to move about the world, even as the Goswamis are described by Srinivasacharya. They were loved, and they were dear to the gentle and the ruffians. Everyone appreciated them. So, and Prabhupada quotes in his purport today the verse Kirata Gunandra Pulinda Bukasha Abhirashumba Yavana Kasalaya Yine Chapapa Yadapashra Shaya Shudyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnava Namaha. This is spoken later by Shukadeva Goswami. And he says that it doesn't matter where one comes from, whatever kind of degraded condition one is in. And in the material world, practically everyone, we see Shukadeva Goswami was not, but practically everyone is born into a degraded condition of life due to conditioning by the modes of material nature. Jaganya Vritti Gunasta, it's mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, that the various modes of material nature that one associates with over his or her sojourn in the material world contaminate one's senses and one's original faith in Krishna. It gets perverted. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jangunan karanam gunasangosya sarasad yoni janmasya. And one ends up in various compromised situations in the material world due to previous association. And these are categorized. Now, there's Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, who are all conditioned by various modes. The Brahmanas by goodness, the Kshatriyas by goodness, passion, the Vaishyas by passion, ignorance, and the Shudras by ignorance. But then we're getting a whole other category. These are at least regulated under the Varnashrama. But then you get Kirata, Hunanda, Pulinda, Pulkasha, all bets are off. They're not even close to the Varnashram. They've never heard of Varnashram. They've never heard anything except cooking dogs or whatever they do. And it's natural to them because of their conditioning by the multicultural nature. And you'll see that cultures have their own ways of digging themselves deeper into the multicultural nature. So how do they get out? Shukadeva Goswami gives this verse that by association with the pure devotees, and through them, the power of Lord Vishnu flows. Mm-hmm. And because of that, Shukadeva says, they'll definitely, they can definitely be purified. They can definitely come to the highest position because Vishnu is all powerful. And simply by following him, one can come to the highest position. So now we'll take a few reflections. It just means anything that you heard so far that's stuck in your mind. Yes.
Love it.
Oh. The question is like a...
No question.
No, not question, but it's a second. So like once you said like a, once you utter the name of Krishna...
Once you utter the name of Krishna...
All the sins will be wiped out.
All the sins will be wiped out.
But then when we see a devotee is still struggling...
See the devotee is still struggling.
So how would you justify that?
Yeah, you're right, that wasn't a question. So that is fully delineated in the pastime of Ajamya. And it's a very important section of the Bhagavatam. In fact, so important that back in the mid-70s, when that book came out, Srila Prabhupada had us distributing that directly. It was one of our mass distribution titles. We had it in O'Hare Airport. It was delivered. We actually never left the airport. We didn't leave the airport except to come home to, you know, take rest, get up for Mangal Arati, and take prasadam. Other than that, we lived in the airport. And so while we were there, Hare Krishna Paride, and new books would come out, then Jitendriya, he was actually the book transporting, he's still there. Bless his soul.
Wow.
He's still there. One of those stalwarts. He never changed temples. So that's rare. He would put them in the van and bring them out. They'd come from the print and bring them out. And it was like one of those IV bags. It's already hooked up. You don't move it. You just put another bag on it. It keeps going in. So I remember when the sixth canto came out and they brought it out to the airport. And we distributed it. It has a picture of the Yamadutas. And you can't hear back there. Really? Well, why don't you move the speaker further back then? Is that possible?
Yeah.
Give me a chair. Oh, we'll just take it off. Plug it in.
Hare Krishna. I can move closer like this. Because you don't need to put the volume up, definitely.
I know where to see him.
Okay, now I'm going to get
him. Go to it.
I don't know how they did it at Naimasarni, do you? It's actually mentioned that the Brihat Bhagavatamrita starts off with Uttara, who's Pariksit's mother, who comes and says, I couldn't hear everything. So why don't you tell me, give me a summary of what was just said by Shrikadeva Goswami.
If there's space there on the stairs, can sit over here.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so I'm answering the question.
That wasn't,
I could have made a statement.
That wasn't a question.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Okay? Hare Krishna. Good. So, I'll skip all the stories. I'll go to the point. And that is that in the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, And this section of the Bhagavatam is describing how the Lord protects the living entities, poshanam. There are various categories which are of knowledge which are being imparted throughout the Bhagavatam. And this section is particularly talking about how the Lord protects his devotees. And in the fifth canto, we know that the living entities who are engaged in sinful life have to suffer unbearable misery because of the reactions to their sins. And Shukadev even describes various hellish planets where Yamaraj punishes the living entities. And now in the sixth canto, Shukadev Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj a story that he heard from other sages. And that story is about Ajamil, who is a dutiful young Brahmin. But because of an accidental exposure to an unsavory scene of a low-class couple embracing in public, it agitated his mind so much that he fell down from his brahminical standards and wholeheartedly embraced a life of wanton sin. That means he was taking intoxication, he lived with a prostitute, had many, many children out of wedlock, and he took to all kinds of illegal means of earning money. I mean, once the wheels come off, anything can happen. It becomes a second nature habit just to go on doing more and more degraded things. So this is what happened to Ajamil. However, as we all know, he, because of his previous pious credits, named his son Narayan, his youngest son. And while he was speaking the name of Narayan, in fact, the first time he spoke the name of Narayan, he was getting purified. This is mentioned in many places, how the holy name has this effect. Jainama Deha, Muni Vrindageya He, Janaranjanaya Paramakshara Krite. Tomanada rada pi managudiritam nikilogra tapa putalimba lumpasi. Rupa Goswami mentions in his Namashtakam that if one even disrespectfully says the name of the Lord, he is freed from unlimited sinful reactions. Ugratapa, unlimited kinds of suffering that he'll have to undergo because of his sinful reactions are destroyed. Because of that. Not only that, the holy name has such power, he says, Yiravaso Pyutyan Kavalita Bhava Tanta Vivabo, Drishram Tatvandanam Apitishati Pukti Pranayanim. And that is, even someone who's undam, he's blind to the truth. Tatva Andanam. He has no idea about devotional service. But if he hears the holy names, he can be awakened to a sense of bhakti. Naturally, the holy name is investible with its powers. Chi Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Nam Nam Akari Bahudha Nija Sarva Shaktis. That the Lord's personal energy is there. It's He Himself is present in the name. And in the first chapter of the Bhagavatam, we hear that Apana Samsritin Goram Yannama Vivashogranam Tata Sadyo Vimucheta Yabibheti Swayambayam. That anyone who's in a dangerous situation in this material world, and everyone is, can simply call out the holy name. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
And Krishna will save that person. Why? Because even fear personified is afraid of the holy name. And Krishna is personally present within his name. So unknowingly, Ajamil said Narayan. Now, the question is, how is it that we see he went on sinning, even after he chanted. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives an elaborate commentary in this section of the Bhagavatam, which is summarized by Srila Prabhupada in the last verse of that second chapter in Ajamil, in which he describes how a snake, when its teeth are taken out, may go on biting, but he won't have any effect. And you see this in India all the time. These little kids have these cobras in a basket. Have you ever seen? Yeah. They come up to you to get a couple of rupees and they go, here, you know, here's a cobra. But any person who knows that cobra is not going to bite me, they're not afraid of it at all. So in a similar way, the fangs and the venom are taken out by the process of the holy name. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that although it appears that Ajamil went on committing sins, because he had already been indemnified by the process of chanting Hare Krishna without the intention of clearing his sins, that those sinful reactions had no effect whatsoever. They didn't create any more karma, and they were insignificant. And then he got the final result of all that when he was saved by the Vishnu Dutas, and he heard a conversation between the Yamadutas and the Vishnu Dutas. After the Vishnu Dutas were victorious in saving the soul of Ajamil, and rightly so, because he had chanted the holy name, which is the highest dharma, he then reconsidered his situation. He repented. He went to Haridwar, and he made further progress, and then went back to Godhead. So this is the power of the holy name, that even if one says it neglectfully, if one says it unconsciously, Bhagavatam mentions these various ways in which one may chant unknowingly. This is the namabhas. You get the dim reflection, the power of the holy name. Even that is so potent that it removes your sinful reactions. However, when Haridas Thakur and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were speaking about the glories of the holy name, Mahaprabhu inquires from Haridas about this namabhas. And relevant to all of us, sometimes the question is, I'm going on chanting Hare Krishna, but I may not be experiencing that I'm liberated. In fact, I may still be distracted or even tempted towards sinful life and things like this. So what's up with that? And Haridas Thakur assures us, first of all, in elaborate terms of the power of namabhas. And then he describes how there's a lower level namabhas and a higher level namabhas. Lower level means that just incidentally you say the holy name, like Krishna Kapi. That's a copy shop. It's like, I'm going to Krishna Kapi. So you said Krishna. So you get this effect of saying the holy name, right? Or other people, they see the devotees and they go, ah, Hare Krishna, go away. And then they said Krishna. So, okay. There are various ways that he mentions that one may utter the holy name neglectfully. But then he says there's higher level namabhas, and that is those who have faith in the holy name. In other words, they've heard the science of Krishna consciousness. They've seen it in others. And they've seen it means advancement, the advancement of others. They've felt it for themselves. And they understand that this is actually a potent process. And even though they may not be experiencing a full liberation, they may not see it in their own lives immediately, they have faith in it. And when they chant with that, this is called Shraddha Namabhas. It means you're chanting Namabhas, but you're doing it with full faith that it'll work. And he says, for those who chant with that disposition, those who chant with that disposition will definitely come to the highest stage of chanting. So, one who is in this situation, that is, has been fully informed about the science of Krishna consciousness, has full faith in it, but then may, while chanting, feel like he or she is in the doldrums, like I can't quite get to the next level. Don't worry, keep chanting. There should be a t-shirt. Keep chanting, because according to Haridas Thakur, you will come to the highest stage by giving your full attention to that process, chanting. We'll take a couple more reflections. Or if they're...
like you said, the name, anybody reciting the name, if they're aware of it or not. It's funny, yesterday we
guy approached us while we were distributing books, and he was not interested in Krishna consciousness or anything. He just was trying to kill time. And he started asking us questions and about the philosophy, and we shared. And he's just pulling our leg pretty much, and he's trying to mess with us. But in the end, he said, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, you know, and took off. So we're like, man, at least he said, you know, God's name. So it was a success.
Yeah. I wrote a chapter, two chapters in my book, one called The Penny Principle, and the next one is called, someone after that called? Anyway, the first, I wrote two chapters because I had some, there's a way in which several senior God brothers who I talked with had this, what's it called?
Behind the door or something?
No, that's the last chapter. Have this feeling that in ISKCON we depend too much on agyata sukriti. That is, that we have this sense that, okay, they just say the holy name, then they're, that's it. We don't need to do anything else. And therefore, we may not develop systems to then assist people to come forward, next step. There may be many gaps, because we just we're liberating the whole world. Everyone's saying Hare Krishna. So let's just leave it at that. They've got their inoculation, now we can walk away. So others urged me to talk about the other side of it, which is how important it is that even though we are distributing the holy name, which has such power, we also need to do it in such a way that people open their hearts to it. Because when people open their hearts, they can take in a lot more. And if it's put into a context that they can understand and appreciate, that is, it's presented with realization, so that it's done compassionately, and it's done in a way that people can see it as something viable in their own lives, then they'll take in more of it. And one of the examples I gave was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who adjusted his whole lifestyle in order to be more effective in his outreach. That's why he took sannyas. He says, because people will come and bow down to me, and therefore I'll take this position in society, even though he didn't have to, and so forth. But your point is so well taken. The people who come by and they meet the devotees, and that's why it's so important for devotees to go out and meet people one-to-one, is because that's where the destiny of an individual living entity changes. And they meet a devotee because you took the time to go out and the austerity to be out in public, and you met this person, even though he was joking around, he got the benefit of chanting Hare Krishna. And because you're studying the philosophy and understand this, it's something, somewhat of an inside joke amongst the devotees who are there, kind of like, the person may be saying Hare Krishna for any number of reasons, even if they're drunk or something like that. The devotees are feeling, okay, good for you, keep it up, you know. Mataji?
I invented one thing to go to any department store, like a big store, Walmart and all, and I come to the counter and I said, I lost my child, name is Gauranga, or name is Krishna or Radha, can you announce that too? And they announced the Gauranga, Gauranga, everybody can hear it, the name. So every place I go, department store, and I do this. And then after some time I said, oh, I think somewhere I will look for my child, please, thank you.
Yeah, I was wondering, the other day I think I heard that. Now I know who's behind it. Yes,
it's a question, it's not a question. You were mentioning about that about the Varnashram Dharma. So if we come to Krishna consciousness, then Varnashram Dharma is optional, or again, if we are not following that, it means again we are not in those four categories, we are still below those four categories.
Krishna addresses this in the Bhagavatam, 11th canto. He says, Tavat karmana kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata makata shavana dava shavayavana jayate. Until one's fully awakened, one's a faith in hearing and chanting. One has to adhere to the principles of Varnashrama Dharma. And so, for those who are practicing Bhagavad Bhakti, the direct process of worshipping Krishna, the Varnashram may be, or is, superfluous. However, in order to keep one's balance in the material world, Varnashrama is necessary because there's a way in which it's really easy to get out of alignment here and to stop chanting Hare Krishna. So the idea of Varnashrama is to accommodate people's natural proclivities so that they can perform work in this world that suits their nature, and therefore they have some balance. And when one has balance, then one can fully focus one's mind on Krishna. So one has to attend to both sides of one's life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur described in Jayavadharma how we have Vyavaharika and Paramartika as aspects of our life. Vyavaharika means the material nature that we have and our involvement with the material world, family, job, and so forth. And that has to be attended to properly. Otherwise, as we've seen, sometimes someone takes to Krishna consciousness, but they're so out of balance on their material side of their life that they can barely concentrate on the process of Krishna consciousness. And on the other side, paramarthika means we have the ultimate goal of life, which is to attain love for Krishna. So both go on simultaneously because we're born into that situation, unless, as we see here, someone is a liberated soul. But even liberated souls generally take to the processes of to the various rituals and so forth to show example for others. For instance, they'll take initiation. Even a liberated soul, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, said, you know, this initiation, taking diksha, divyam jnanam yatat dadyat, it means that it destroys your previous proclivities towards sinful reaction by taking initiation. However, liberated souls, what do they need that for? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, they do it anyway, because it shows an example for others. So on either side. And then, of course, there's, the discussion is, what is the application of Daivi Varnashram amongst the devotees? How is it applied? And that's an ongoing conversation, which is, you know, a lot of intelligent devotees are discussing that now. And there's sort of a riddle left behind by Prabhupada before he left, saying, you know, do this Varnashram also. And so there are a lot of different ideas about how to do that. And I think that it's part of the tirobhav. After one's spiritual master leaves, then you have to figure stuff out for yourself. And in the process of trying to figure it out, you can't just leave it aside and say that, well, it's too hard, I won't figure it out. In the process of trying to figure it out and apply it, then gradually Krishna gives intelligence. Look at Brahma at the beginning of creation. He didn't know what to do, but he kept trying, and then Krishna revealed. And Prabhupada mentions when he tried to execute the order of his spiritual master and he couldn't, he kept praying. And Prabhupada says in one lecture that when you can't carry out the order, but it's your heart's desire to do so and your goal in life, then you keep saying, how can I do? How can I do? How can I do? Keep asking that question until Krishna reveals. Yes?
Yeah, so what I heard from the class today, Prabhu, is that how important is that to take the holy name consciously or unconsciously? You know, if somebody takes name unconsciously, then he gets some Ajna Sukruti, which can help him any time in his life. If somebody takes consciously name, you know, holy name, then step by step, all the sinful reactions will go away, and and then and he will have some faith develop in his heart, you know, by chanting the holy name with full faith. You know, he will develop some sort of he will have some vibrations going on in his life.
Yeah, another part of the commentary, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, the holy name will fructify in one's life at its own speed. So it's not that it's a stereotype process, and then you'll say, well, that person's chanting with taste, why aren't I chanting with taste? He says, just when a tree is giving fruit, it gives it when it gives it. Mm. And he also says something that's so astounding, I even hesitate to say it. So that Krishna has his own reasons for giving full taste for chanting his holy name, and he also has his own reasons for holding it back sometimes. Mm. And it may not be based on one's offenses or anything else. And one of the astounding reasons that sometimes Krishna doesn't allow certain devotees until the very end, when they leave this world, to attain full realization of the holy name, is because Krishna is Samaham Sarvabhuteshu, that is, he's equal to all living entities, and he wants to give full freedom for others to take the paths that they desire to take, like jnana and karma. And if all the bhaktas immediately get success in chanting Hare Krishna, then these other practitioners will be discouraged. And Krishna is creating a level playing field so that the living entities who have their own desires to pursue happiness or spiritual life in certain ways will have their facility to do so without being psychologically disturbed. So you can't second guess Krishna, you just have to have faith. Develop the faith that by continuing the chanting process, then everything will come. I think that also goes with spreading Krishna consciousness. It's kind of a mysterious process, in a way. It's not like building a corporation where it's, it's all based on sound management, although that's very important as well. It's helpful and necessary even. But there's another mysterious aspect to this, what we're doing here, community building, and getting all the trains hitched together so that we can have like this incredible momentum to bring people into a fold that seems to be harmonized, with all the devotees working together. How does that happen? Well, it doesn't necessarily happen overnight, as I was saying last night, or alluding to it overnight. It's not such an easy thing. It can be really agitating, because living entities have their own natures. And if you notice the way Prabhupada talked about things, he was patient. You know, he had already spent a lot of time throughout his whole life considering how to spread the order, execute the order of his spiritual master. And he was finding one obstacle after another, but he didn't stop. And what was, his ultimate formula is just keep trying and be patient. I mean, look at Jhansi was a failure, apparently. But it was not a failure because it pushed him to come westward. If Jhansi had been a big success, he might still be there. And that project might be going on in a big way, and we might not be here. So one has to be... And also, Prabhupada accommodated the fact that living entities will be living entities. You have to consider that when you're building a community and be a little tolerant of one another, because there's a way in which Prabhupada was tolerant when it was brought up to him by one of the GBCs, Atreya Rishi Prabhu. A great soul, and he had a very kind of soft heart. And, amongst the management at the time, it was pretty rough and tumble. A lot of young energy, and very competitive. You know, everyone knew, like, what the mission is and how they're going to do it. It's like, and then the other person knew how they were going to do it, and it wasn't exactly always the same, right? And so there was some disharmony in a way. And when Atreya Rishi saw this at the top level in the GBC, he became disturbed. And he thought, you know, this is a spiritual organization. Why should there be this kind of clash? So he brought it to Prabhupada. And the letter's there where Prabhupada writes back to him and says that your idea is utopian. Don't be utopian. He said, because living entities have their own volition and they're individuals. They're going to have their own individual ways of looking at things. It's an amazing letter, because if you think of it in terms of how to expand a volunteer organization, you'll see this is genius. Because even in business management, we have that book, which many of you have probably read or seen, called From Good to Great. It's a study of the best corporations. I would just say the great corporations. There's so many good corporations out there. You walk in and make your head spin how organized they are, especially compared to us. And then amongst all the thousands of good corporations, there's some that are great. They come to a higher level, and you just walk in and go, how did they get here? I mean, how did they come from nothing to this? So that book was a huge seller. You know, people want to find out how to do that. But there were a lot of people from social sectors, from churches, from volunteer organizations, that were writing him and saying, you know, the principles you wrote down in From Good to Great don't apply to us. Because it's a different model altogether, especially from a very scientific management point of view. It's a science, management. People study it very carefully. I've looked at it under the tutelage of Rupanuga Prabhu down in Laguna Beach. He's got a PhD in management. And first day I met him, I got in the car, he picked us up at the airport in Orange County. I said, all right, Rupanuga, you got to teach me how to manage. He goes, you already know how. And I said, what are you talking about? I said, Prabhupada taught you, Trinada Pisunichi no. So that's all you need to know. And I said, all right, I want more, you know. So he started teaching me various aspects of management. He even gave me some of the textbooks that he uses in his classes. But he always comes back to this, you know, all this stuff doesn't work if you don't have Trinada Pisunichi no. And when Prabhupada told Atreya Rishi this, you know, he said that everyone, even in the spiritual world, you'll find that there are some anomalies. Then he gave some examples. He said, for instance, sometimes Krishna tries to milk a bull because he's so bewildered by seeing Radharani, he grabs the bull and tries to milk it rather than a cow. And he says that, you know, living entities, even in the spiritual world, they have their own, elsewhere, he says, they have their own camps. This is well known, that in the spiritual world there are, you know, like, there's some competition. But it's all without envy. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada would make this point. Mm-hmm. It's there, but it doesn't have that material tinge, that there's some jealousy, there's some envy or something like that. So it's really important. And Prabhupada, again and again, he'd have to address this issue to how is it that, you know, the devotees can find a common ground to be together, somehow or other hold together. It doesn't have to be stereotyped like others. You can't imitate because each situation is unique. And just going, so I complete the point before I drift off too far, the author of Good to Great wrote another book, a monograph, to describe how to manage volunteer organizations. And he said, I admit that it's a completely different situation than in a corporation where everyone's getting paid, and that's a little carrot thing. Here, we're volunteering. Mm. No one's paying us. We're all doing this because we think it's a good idea. So how to get all that together with living entities who are eternally have their own volition, and each one is unique, that's an art. and it takes patience, and it takes also purification. One of the things when, you know, when we were coming up here, I was just thinking, you know, there's a lot of ways we could talk about how to bring everything together. And but just my whole feeling was, let's just try being together and talking Krishna Katha and look to see how Krishna reveals a little bit more how to make solutions. I mean, the more we can come together and hear and chant together, if we can do that, then Krishna sort of naturally makes these solutions. And I've seen it at ISV. It started as such a little project. It was just an accident, really, because some devotees moved up from Los Angeles because they didn't fit in down there. It's just like the community, they were there, brahmacharis and this and that, and, you know, they've been in the community, didn't mix. So they're like, all right, pack up the truck, and we're moving to San Jose. And they got to San Jose, and then there they are in a little house. And so what do you do from there? How do you build an organization from a little house? Well, you just hear and chant, do the program, do Sankirtan, do what you can do with what you have now, and just do it sincerely. And then one of the main ingredients is try to build a consensus among the devotees in whatever way you can. And if, again, that's not stereotype. You may have to try to patch things together in different ways, but that is a spiritual principle. And it's something the Prabhupada advocated over and over again. I want to read you a letter, one of my favorite letters that Prabhupada wrote. There was a faction. Now, there have been many factions, because it's so easy to factionalize. I mean, it goes on all the time. In any organization, it's not just ISKCON, any organization, because you're dealing with people, you know, people get different ideas, and they'll say, all right, we'll do it this way. And everyone will say, no, we're not doing it that way, and say, all right, we'll just do it on our own this way. Then you get faction, this, all different kinds of things happen, and it's not always necessarily a bad thing. It can also lead to good things. But I want to read you a letter that shows Prabhupada's mood towards one faction that happened in ISKCON. I'll just give you a little history behind it. Here, find that letter. I already have it on the database there under Nair. You know the one I'm talking about with Siddhasroop? Yeah. So, Siddhasroop Ananda Prabhu was it Chris Butler in Hawaii. He's a very charismatic personality. He's still preaching effectively in Hawaii and other places around the world.
Including Sacramento.
Yeah. So he's actually, he's a devotee. He's a good devotee. Great devotee. And he was a guru in his own right before he even met Prabhupada. So he had many, many followers. And then he got Prabhupada's books. And then he met Prabhupada, and then he surrendered. And then he told all his followers, be with Prabhupada. So there are devotees all over the movement who came from Siddhasrupananda's original Sangha. But then, like, he had his own ideas about how to preach and how to do things. And then there was a little bit of a factionalization. And some of his devotees just gravitated towards him and said, you know, he's the only way. This is the only way to do it, to be with him. And then, you know, they developed a little bit of a separatist mentality. And this phrase, I think, is really important in watching for warning signs, the separatists. This is something mentioned in the Bhagavatam by Kapila Dev as being a devotional service which is mixed with lower modes when one wants to become a separatist and can't accommodate others, working with others. So here in the section that Mukharavind is almost found, here, if you give it to me, I'll find it quickly.
Can you define separatist? What are the symptoms and...
No, not that. This is the letter.
Oh, you
put Asiddhasroop, Asiddhasroop, and if you put Nair, I already had it on the screen for the search. Put Nair. So, So one devotee had, written to Prabhupada from that group, and in this letter, here, just give it back. We'll find it.
It's Mother Dispo. You got it already?
No, it's Mother Dispo.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. This is a letter from Prabhupada 1972. And he writes, he's answering some questions and he comes to the next question. And this is the Tushta Krishna Prabhu, who is a follower of Siddhasupananda Prabhu. And he says, your next question, after leaving this material realm, does the devotee remain forever with his spiritual master? The answer is yes. But I think you have got the mistaken idea in this connection. You speak of pure devotee, that he is Shaktivesh avatar, that we should obey him only. These things are the wrong idea. If anyone thinks like that, that a pure devotee should be obeyed and no one else, that means he is a nonsense. We advise everyone to address one another as Prabhu. Prabhu means master, so how the master should be disobeyed? Others, they are also pure devotees. All my disciples are pure devotees. Anyone sincerely serving the spiritual master is a pure devotee. It may be Siddhasarup or others, a Siddhasarup. This must be very clearly stated. It is not only that your Siddhasarup is a pure devotee and others not. Do not try to make a faction. Siddhasarup is a good soul, but others should not be misled. Anyone who is surrendered to the spiritual master is a pure devotee. It doesn't matter if Siddhasarup or non-Siddhasarup. Amongst ourselves, one should respect others as Prabhu, Master. As soon as we distinguish here is a pure devotee, here is a non-pure devotee, that means I am nonsense. Why you only want to be in the spiritual world with Siddhasarup? Why not all? If Siddhasarup can go, why not everyone? Siddhasarup will go, you will go, Shyamasundar will go, all others will go. We'll have another ISKCON there. Of course, Mr. Nair must stay. And anybody who doesn't know, Mr. Nair was the person who tried to double-cross Prabhupada by taking away the property in Juhu Beach. I'm making that. So there's a mood here that is repeated over and over again where Prabhupada is obviously performing this magic by accommodating the individual wills of all these different living entities coming into a movement that's a volunteer movement. And each one of them has their own volition. And then it's natural. This is one point. It's natural for living entities to factionalize because they do it in the spiritual world too. There's the Chandravali group, there's the Radharani group, and there are gunas. This is mentioned in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Each living entity has its own guna. It's like, we're with this group. They have their own flavor, taste, and that's what makes the spiritual world tasty and interesting. It's not just a monolith. It's not just like that on the screen with television after all the stations are done and there's just that's what Prabhupada says, this is Mayavad. But living entities are enjoyable and tasty, and there is some conflict. That's interesting too. But that has to somehow or other be accommodated or managed in order to
get this kind of miracle that can happen where everybody's there together, even though there, you know, there are rifts and there are different things happening, but somehow or other you keep it in one pot and you keep the preparation cooking. That's the magic that I see that is done in certain places. And I was saying at ISV it's happened to a degree. You know, we started in a small house, and I think, how did we get from there to where we are? We don't consider we're very far along, but looking back to where we started, you know, we've hit a few milestones, and we've got a long way to go. But so how did we do it there? We kept coming together and talking and saying, what's the next step? What's the next goal? How can we reach the next goal together? And agreement on what the goals were, like, one of the things we've always kept in the forefront was book distribution. And this is something that I made a two-hour presentation to the International GBC this year. It was about expanding the model that we've created in North America. Did you know? I don't know if you're all aware of this, but 5 years ago, we went before the North American GBC and suggested that the whole continent work as one team for book distribution, and that we consider a team goal for the whole continent. That had never been done before. And so we set a goal the first year for making 20% increase. And how would we measure it? We changed the newsletter. We changed the way the newsletter is composed, so we're not just looking back to what you did. When you get the newsletter, it shows you what you're doing right now compared to your stake in the overall goal. So each ISKCON entity would have a quota to do at least 20% increase over what they did last year. Sometimes it wasn't that hard because they did 10 books, they just needed to do two more. But for like Savas in LA, it meant, you know, okay, 20,000 more, something like that. You know, but everyone, it's equitable. You know, so everyone agreed. Everybody agreed. All the temple presidents and all the GBCs raised their hands and we were in. And over the last 5 years, we've achieved about 150% increase in book distribution. We went from about 750,000 remittances to the BBT per year from the whole continent to this year, $2.58 million to the BBT. Giving it as an example of like a common vision, common goal, everyone together. And then how do you do it? You have some measurement that this is what we're going for as a group, that this is our goal. And then everyone can sort of, despite their differences and whatever way they do it, they can kind of come together. And if you consider yourself a team, then you can start sharing, like, because you want your team sports, you want everybody on the team to do well, because when the team does well, then you do well. So that was the idea. And another thought about how to advance in general, I studied a little bit some of these corporations who did really well. Like Apple is one I looked at. In fact, many years ago I read books about Steve Jobs and how he started his company, and by people who also helped him do it, like Guy Kawasaki, who's written several books. One of them is called Art of the Start. And one of the lessons I saw from Steve Jobs was he started in a garage, a little operation. How do you get from there to the biggest corporation in the world? Well, he used to get together with his people all the time at intervals, and they'd go away to a retreat in Pajaro Dunes, and they would sit around together and talk about what's going right and what can we fix? What little things can we do better? And so we adopted this system at ISV, and we call it Always Better Service, ABS. And it means that in your individual sadhana and as a group, whatever team you're on and the greater team, you have to come together and analyze what are we doing well and keep doing it and try to augment it and emphasize it. And where's there room for improvement? And try to do more. And just a couple points that I got that I'll share now from Guy Kawasaki in his book, Art of the Start. He mentions that three stages to starting a successful corporation. First is, he calls make meaning.
said, decide why you're doing this. Why is it important to you to do this? Because that's what you have to call upon. If you want to have any successful organization, you have to have a clear idea why it's important to you. And after that, he says, make mantra. And that's a replacement for the traditional mission statement. It gets a little wordy and convoluted and takes a long time to make, and nobody ever agrees on all the details necessarily. But make mantra means three words, four words. That, you know, that's your battle cry. That's what unites your organization. And then third one, you ready for the third?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Get going.
Get going.
Make mantra, get going. This is start executing, because when you start executing, when you have meaning and you have a mantra, then you're going to find where all the holes are. And then you have to come together and decide, like, how to make it a little bit better, how to fix it. And when you're fixing stuff, like if you fix three things every month, in your personal sadhana and in your organization, if you can have a brain trust to come together and think, how can we fix three things a month, you'll be on a very upward trajectory moving towards a worthy goal. So that's it. We went from Shukadeva Goswami to Guy Kawasaki. Yes.
The chapter Thoughtful Principle.
The what?
The chapter named Thoughtful Principle.
The Thoughtfulness Principle.
Yeah,
so the second one. For one was the Penny Principle, which means that practically it's hard to fail, because when you're going out distributing Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada pointed out, if they touch the book, they read one word, one line, they say Hare Krishna, we know, okay, there's eternal benefit there. But there's more to it. There's a thoughtfulness principle. You actually have to be thoughtful in how you present it. Otherwise, we just go out and, you know, at 3 in the morning and put out loudspeakers and blast everybody. But it wouldn't go very far. Maybe a little Jnana Sukriti, but people aren't going to join Krishna consciousness. So, any last point? Wrong. Yes, Prabhu.
I just want to give a... this is from Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada writes, the pure devotee, devotional service is a dynamic activity. The pure devotee, he can inject it in the dull masses of the people, gentle masses of the people. So we're all in the same boat, you know. We're trying to somehow get the attention with Srila Prabhupada's books in whatever way possible, in whatever ways we can. And I think it's working, you know, at least from my experience. For the past few years, we've been doing this, and we have kind of set some goals and met the goals, and you probably know about that, right? And we've seen some tangible progress in our book distribution.
You mean with Team Yamuna Mayim? Yeah, I have been watching that, and I see it on the newsletter. And I don't know if you see the newsletters also, but it's my name is in the category above yours, so I'm always like, go, you know? And there's always ways I'm thinking, like, how can I help? How can I help it expand? You know, how can I be of assistance in that way? And, you know, when we first got together up here and we talked, I think that's when we formed that team, Yamuna Mayim. And really it's just my instinct. This is just my instinct because of the way I grew up in Krishna consciousness. Is think about how to expand preaching and hearing and chanting, these two things. And if you think about how to do that collectively, and the reason I started talking about book distribution so extensively is because it's a very measurable activity, and it's also something that's arguably on the forefront of Prabhupada's agenda. In fact, in his seven purposes of ISKCON, in the seventh purpose he says, to achieve the aforementioned purposes, we will print periodicals, magazines, books, and so forth, and distribute. So I always gravitate towards this as a centerpiece, as a way to actually bolster all the other kind of things that we're doing. So in many places that we travel to, and the main reason we travel there is because they have an interest in developing that core activity. And when they do, it gives a lot of energy to the overall community. So my suggestion when I first came was start a monthly Sankirtan festival where the whole community could come together and then in an organized way, go out, and even if somebody's not distributing books, there's backup things you can do, and then count it all as one, you know, one team. That was my, that was, I think, what we talked about originally. And so that's something that could be looked at, like how to, you know, unite everyone behind that common activity that you've been doing so exemplarily. You know, continuing that and measuring it and so forth.
So we'll try to increase 10%.
Yep, if you have a measurable goal, then 10% every year is something that, yes, Chaitanya.
Another way, Srila Prabhupada, long time ago, when he first time that opened Bombay Temple and Vrindavan Temple, and easily India they do, as actually Gurudas Prabhu, Prabhu, they had a team, they in Prabhupada sent them to do the first pandal program, big pandal program. Before the, anywhere, we just, India, we do huge pandal program and huge people come to book distribution also very easy, and we do, and that do. So always we did in India, so many pandal program and lots of people, and books also goes, thousands of books. So just now recently we was there also did many, many Harinam and book distribution. So in America, in Western country, very difficult to do pandal program and we do the all these things. So how we can do something like that to...
Wow, thank you for asking that question. I have one idea for that, that we're developing. ISV is our little laboratory. And whatever, and part of our mission statement there is whatever we can cook up there, it's actually for export. It's an export center. So one little thing we've cooked up there. I've noticed the same thing you have, and I that's why I really like your point, that when people come to pandals, like Rath Yatra is a kind of pandal program. It's a big grand event. You can invite everybody to come, right? And when people come to these programs, for instance, from my side, when I'm at a book table, people come over and they go, which book should I take? Because they're sort of overwhelmed by the entire environment. And you know, like they want to know more. And so I also noticed that it costs sometimes $100,000, $150,000 to put on one Rath Yatra. And the whole thing, you know, takes a whole year to plan. It takes so many resources, human resources, and all kinds of other paraphernalia to make it work. And then, and of course, it's necessary. It's carrying on Prabhupada's legacy, and it's pleasing the Lord Jagannath. Nothing against Rath Yatra. But it's not something that you can do every week. So I thought, how can you create the same kind of vortex of energy without spending $100,000? So we came up with this concept called the mini festival. And we've been doing it at ISV. Maybe some of you have seen it or been there. Anybody been to one of the mini festivals?
Friday.
Yeah. So sometimes on Friday nights, sometimes on Saturdays. So we found out from the little plaza where we've been having our Harinam in Palo Alto that we investigated, you know, can we get a permit to do this so we can expand it a little bit. So our team went in there and asked for a permit. They said, no, we don't give a permit. But our team said, oh, yes, you do. It's right on your on the internet. It's on your webpage. And they looked and go, oh, I guess we do. Go ahead. You can take a permit. So for $80, we get the whole square. We get to ask everybody else to go. At that time, at least street musicians and things, which we had some kind of arrangement with, but sometimes they would say, no, I'm going to stay and play my electric guitar, so we'd have a conflict. But now we go there and we set up, we roll out, it's not exactly a stage, but we roll out a really nice carpet. We have these pillars of light. We have a whole embankment of lights that comes down, that shows the Harinam at night. And then it shoots out little lights on the ground everywhere, almost like a, you know, it's like an extravaganza kind of thing. And then we have various booths that are not that hard to set up. There's a book booth, which is active all night long. Then there's a face painting booth. There's a meditation lesson booth. And prasadam is being distributed and things like that. So then when people come along,
it's not just a Harinam party. I mean, there's nothing just about a Harinam party. But this goes to this chapter I'm talking about. You can do Harinam, but you can also do it in such a way that people get caught by it. And you can do a little mini festival, and we noticed, we've been studying this, that when you go to the extra trouble, which isn't that much extra trouble, you can create the same environment as a pandal right on a street corner somewhere, and it looks really beautiful. And people come in and they don't leave. They'll stay there all night, because it's much better than going to the bar or the restaurant, wherever else they thought they were going. And I completely agree with you. This is one of the programs that we're planning on expanding all over the San Francisco Bay Area this year. In fact, we got a couple new heavy hitters that we brought in. Navina Nirdipa, who is now a permanent resident at ISV, along with Harinama Prabhu, that's a good name for it. And they're going to be working on expanding those around the San Francisco Bay Area. And that's something that you can do in Sacramento, too. You can find the places that are happening with young people. And as a group, you can put together, you know, find out where you can get permission with permit, so you can really dig in and do a pandal, mini pandal.
Another idea that in Madras temple, Prabhu was temple president, our father-in-law, his father gave donated lots of money, so he brought that when Bhagavatam set came fast, and he brought the whole track full of Bhagavatam set, and in Madras, that was first time coming Bhagavatam set, so we had a book fair, and it's, within 2 days, we did 2,500 Bhagavatam set selling. Within 2 days, record.
Where was that?
In Madras.
Oh, that's a lot.
So within 2 days, and Prabhu got this book because of his father donated. But then, thing is, book fair in America or Western country, they have a book fair. We can also take a place to do the book selling and Bhagavatam set selling.
All these things can be done. So, anyway,
we're having an SOS. ISV.
Okay, we're having an SOS at ISV.
At the end of
ISV and ISV.
SOS means Sankirtan Orientation Session. And we have them twice a year, usually, which is a worldwide invitational. People come from around the world, and they stay for 3 days. We'll put you up, and we'll also feed you, and there's no charge. And you can stay there for 3 days, and there are various methods of Sankirtan that you can learn there. From the different departments that we've established. There are experts there that can show you, so you're all welcome to send representatives down from your various parties to come and learn about Sankirtan. Did you have a point?
I was just going to say, footnote, as the Bhagavatam class is going on, 10 Bhagavad Gitas were distributed.
Haribo! How did that happen?
I made an arrangement for somebody to pick them up.
Oh, very nice. So while we're sitting here talking, Bhagavad Gita's went out. So that kind of proves my point. If you just hear and chant. And then here's the last thing I'd like to say, because the morning's going on a little bit. And that is that, as you were mentioning, how Prabhupada, what was the sentence you gave about how we would inject Krishna consciousness?
With books and how Srila Prabhupada empowered people with enthusiasm and kind of sent them out there.
Yeah, but there was something right from the books, from a book. Yeah.
The pure devotee injects this Krishna consciousness into the dull masses of people.
Into the dull masses of people. So, yes, into the dull masses of people, but the biggest project is to inject it within one's own dull mass. I'll speak for myself, not for you. But inject it within one's own dull mass. And it begins with one's hearing and chant, personal hearing and chanting, and together. So I have a couple practical suggestions, and I'll just make these really quickly. One is that if you get on a schedule to read all of Prabhupada's books within a given amount of time, it'll exhilarate you, and it'll move your spiritual life along in a noticeable way. How do you go from having ordinary spiritual practice to suddenly feeling exhilarated? You make a calculated vow of how to finish all of Prabhupada's books within a given amount of time. Well, how would you possibly do that? Well, we have a little chart called Be a Sage, page by page, that's right over here. And on this chart, it tells you how many pages of each one of Prabhupada's books you have to read each day to complete the book within a given amount of time. For instance, did you know that if you read just 8 pages of the Bhagavatam a day, you'll finish the whole Srimad Bhagavatam in 5 years? And how old will you be? How much older will you be in 5 years?
5 years
older, correct. So you'll be 5 years older in 5 years anyway, but if you include this, then you'll become a great sage as well. Now, if you become really ambitious and you say, I'll read 41 pages a day, then you finish whole Bhagavatam in 1 year. Now, this looks like a piece of paper, but it's very powerful. Do you want one? You can pass these around. But on this paper, you'll also notice, what are the little barcode? The little barcode?
Barcode.
What's that thing called?
It's called Q code.
A Q code. There's a Q code on the paper that you're getting right now. Are you paying attention? This is the punchline now. There's a Q code, and that Q code will take you to our new app. Does anybody here have a smartphone? Raise your hand if you have a smartphone. Okay. So if you have an Android or an Apple, you can go to the App Store, and you look under Be a Sage on your phone. Somebody could do it now just to prove that I'm not selling snake oil and I'm going to be heading out of town as fast as I can right after I say this. If you look on there, you'll see that there's an app available for free called Be a Sage. If you download that app onto your smartphone, then you'll see that there's a little picker wheel, and you can pick whichever book you want, how soon you want to finish the book, and then it'll tell you how many pages you have to read a day. And within the next 2 weeks, there will also be a tracking system on this app. There will be constant upgrades to the app where you can track your own progress. And a few months after that, we're going to have an international system where you can also look at a little map on your application, and it will show you all the places around the world where somebody's reading one of Prabhupada's books on the map. And it also, if you want to participate, you can sign in. You can log in using your Gmail account or your Facebook account. Hopefully you have one of those, or maybe not, I don't know. And there you can register, and you can click in how many pages you're reading on a regular basis. In case you're competitive, then you can try to stay ahead of everybody else. And there'll be a collective international average that'll be kept, and also by country, so that you can keep track of your reading. Yes?
I want to add to this, like, I think maybe 5 years or 6 years ago, I met with you first time, and I heard about this program, and it changed my life.
See, I didn't pay him to say this. It's like one of those MLMs, you know. Yeah, I got the product, I started taking it, my wrinkles fell off. I mean, I feel like 30 years younger. My grandma, you know, she's running around, she's doing track and field now.
To be safe, yeah, I finished reading the Bhagavatam.
Okay. Thank you. You come with us wherever we go. Okay, then one other program. So I highly recommend this. Some people say, well, isn't this mechanical? Well, the Goswamis are lauded by Sri Srinivasacharya, Sankhya Purva Kanama Gananati B. They counted everything. Is that mechanical? No, it's called numerical strength. And it's really hard to be mechanical when you're reading a certain number of pages, because once you start reading, you're reading. I don't care whether it's measured or whatever. Reading is reading. So if you read Prabhupada's books, all good things will happen. And this is injecting Krishna consciousness, in my case, into the dull mass of the whatever I'm carrying around here. So then one other program that I highly recommend, because I heard this from Prabhupada. First of all, I heard it from Jayananda, who was the first devotee took care of me in San Francisco, and he had received this instruction from Prabhupada to recite the Sri Upanishad every day. And so I would sit with him and a couple other devotees before Mangal Arati every day, and we'd recite the Upanishad, and then I just learned it. It was just natural, because that's what we did every day. And I talked to Prajumna, Prabhupada's Sanskrit editor, recently, and I asked him about some of these points, about reciting chapters. And Prabhupada said, he told me the same thing. And, you know, how important it was. And he also said, he told Prajumna, when Prajumna started learning Sanskrit, how important it was to teach the devotees the verses. He wanted the devotees to learn all the verses. That's how Bhagavatam started in the way it is now. You'd read the verse, you go word for word, and actually they'd have everybody repeat it with the idea that they were going to memorize the verse for the day. Nowadays it's sort of institutionalized and it goes, on, you know, but that was like a group effort to capture what Prabhupada had said, which learn the verses and chant the chapters. So there's another program we have called CHAD, and it's called Chapter Day. And all you have to do to join this organization is to volunteer, make a vow, in fact, to chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day. You can read just the English translations, or you can read just the Sanskrit, or you can read the Sanskrit and the English, but you have to complete one chapter every day. And if you do that, you'll be a proud member of the 732 other people who are members of CHAD all over the world. And not only that, I'm going to throw in, your free CHAD credit card. This is a credit card, good anywhere. Macy's, Nordstrom, you can buy gas with it in the spiritual world. So this is your CHAD card, and it has a link to the CHAD organization. So you can join with the 700 plus other people who are doing this every day around the world. They'll tell you what chapter everyone's on. You can do your own thing if you want also. You just write on here with a Sharpie when you started, and then carry this card with you, be a proud member, and chant your one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day. And if you do these two things, get on a measured schedule for reading Prabhupada's books. So if I wake you up at 1 o'clock in the morning, tomorrow morning, and I say, when are you going to finish the Bhagavatam? You'll roll over on one arm and you'll go, September 13th, 2018, I'll be done. He'll say that. Because he's calculated, he's written it down, he's put up a little goal and he said, I'm going to finish on that date. And you know. And if you're on that kind of a track for taking in Prabhupada's books, then all your problems will disappear. Your intelligence will become so sharp, you'll know how to deal with any kind of discord that comes up. You'll feel harmony in your heart and want to associate with everybody no matter what they said to you last month or last year. And the whole community will become, will explode into change. Do you buy that?
Yes,
why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? And you're giving
okay.
for free.
So that's it. And not only that, it's free. Yeah. So thank you very much, everybody. We're really, really impressed by what's here. It's the primordial ingredients for another Krishna conscious universe that's forming here. And just, it's only minus one or two little molecules. That's all. And once those molecules are added, by our conscious decision to come together and add them one way or another, and with patience, we've got to have a little patience, please, because that's one of the main ingredients, then something wonderful will happen. And I better stop here because otherwise you'll hate me for the rest of your life. Now I also want to thank all the devotees who joined us online today. And so, could you turn the camera so they can see, and everyone please say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna!
Nitai Gaura Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Nitai Gaura Hare Bol, Nitai Gaura Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Hare Bol, Nitai Gaura Hare Bol. Vanchakov Rusha Kritas Namona. So if you'd like a chant card, if you come on up here and you had it,
remember, to take this card is no light thing. You have to make a vow. But starting today, I'll do one chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Take you 7 minutes a day, average, to do that.
That's what I wanted to ask you. How long does it take?
Yeah, you tell me what percentage that is out of 24.
Didn't take the time.
What percentage is 7 minutes out of 24 hours?
7 minutes.
What? They'll tell you what percentage every day it is. Okay. Let's give them more, a big round. Another Chad member. Anyone else?
No.
Okay. Prabhu? Hare Krishna. And now it looks like it's time for prasadam.
0.4%.
Shari Radhe Jaja Jodhendriya Kahika
Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, hey, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.